Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening. Good evening.
All right. Got your Christmas wrapping done?
I have a wife, so I don't have to worry about that stuff.
You just got to get one gift and everything else is taken care of, huh?
That's it. That's one of the greatest things about being married, as far as I'm concerned. That and not having to ever buy clothes for myself again.
Well, there was something in the news this week about women, and actually horny women.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
A survey was done by Harris Interactive that found that women gamers are having more sex than non-women gamers.
Huh.
So I was thinking about women playing Call of Duty or things like that, but they did mention in the article games on social networks, which include things like Scrabble and Words with Friends and stuff. So for those single guys out there, be looking for those women out there playing, even in the casinos.
Well, I started gambling in order to get laid. I mean, that was one of my major goals, the reason I started gambling. I had read the James Bond books, and he was good at all kinds of gambling, and he was regularly I was kind of nerdy. So one of the reasons I started gambling was so I could have this great success with the ladies.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, let me tell you about Plan B.
I found that actually trying to date women I met in a casino was really the worst thing possible because sometimes they didn't even know my correct name. I'd be playing under a different name and you end up asking out a cocktail waitress or whatever, and they're calling you George, and you have to lie to them about what you do for a living. It just was a really bad idea, I found very quickly.
I also took dance lessons along the way and became a dance teacher, and I found out that was really good. That really helped a lot. So if you had a choice between being a dance teacher and a professional gambler, and your goal was to be successful with the ladies, go for dancing. Stay away
that
from gambling.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. So tonight we have two guests. Our first guest will be Greg Brown. He's from videopoker.com. They're the people who put out the Triple Play and other video poker games. So he's going to be on in about 5 minutes. He's going to tell us about the new contest they're having at videopoker.com. And also we're going to have Don Johnson, who somehow talked three Atlantic City casinos into giving him $15 million.
Yeah.
He is, as Casey, our guest last week, said, he is my hero. So we're going to talk to him. Now, one of the, I got an email this week from somebody, called himself Steve-O. I don't think I know Steve-O. But he was dealt a royal flush, and it happened to be sequential, ace, king, queen, jack, 10 in order. And he'd never been dealt a royal flush before. He'd never had one sequential before. And so he knows it's pretty rare. And so he sends me an email wanting me to calculate what are the odds on this dealt sequential royal. And my answers to these questions generally don't make anybody very happy. I don't think it makes sense to talk about the odds on something after they already happen. Now, the odds on getting a dealt royal next hand is round number 650,000 to 1. And the odds on the next royal you get, being sequential, is either 60 to 1 or 120 to 1, depending on whether you're talking about a one-way sequential or a two-way sequential. And since they both have to happen, you can multiply those together. But that was the odds on a sequential royal happening next hand. This is not the odds on over your lifetime of play. Now, those of us who've had millions of hands are going to get lots of dealt royals, relatively speaking. I've had 25 dealt royals in my life. One was sequential. And I don't know how many more I'm going to get. It's largely a function of how many hours my butt's in the chair. And people seem to have a theory that they want to say that, well, what just happened to me is more special than what just happened to you. And so if mine was 80 million to one against and yours was only 60 million to one against, then that makes me more special than you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's wanting to be more special. I find that, you know, blackjack players get caught up in the kind of strangest minutiae, you know.
Like what?
Well, first of all, they get obsessed with the wrong things, like thinking that using a more powerful count is the way to improve the amount of money they win, or adding a side count of sevens or things like that, you know. Or another one that comes up all the time is, if I know I'm going to receive an ace, how much should I bet? And, you know, my answer to them is, you know, as much as you think you can get away with, right?
I mean, okay, yeah, it makes sense. You have, what, a 50% advantage or something like that?
Yeah, you have a 50% advantage. So, but they want to know what the, you know, the amount of their bankroll, the Kelly bet, would be. And, you know, I mean, James Grosjean actually, after years of people asking this, you know, wrote a paper and calculated it out. It's 42.08% of your bankroll. But, you know, your bankroll would have to be pretty small to not bump up against whatever the house limit is in a casino. But the reality is, in a lot of casinos, if you suddenly jump your bet from $25 up to $5,000, even if it's a six-deck shoe, they may shuffle it. You know, so the practical consideration is, what do you think you can get away with? You know.
Very good. I want to talk more about bankroll, about the differences bankroll between table game players and video poker players after our guest tonight.
But okay.
Right now we have Greg Brown on the line. He's from videopoker.com. Good evening, Greg.
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Great.
So what's new and different at videopoker.com?
Oh, well, we have a new contest that you talked about a little bit earlier that just actually started today. It's our monthly holiday contest, we call it, this month, and we're featuring a fun, fairly new game called Dream Card Poker.
Okay.
Kind of a volatile game, costs quite a bit to play, so it's an opportunity for people to play online for free and win up to about $1,000 in cash.
Okay. So the way Dream Card works is the first four cards of your hand are dealt normally, and sometimes the fifth card is a dream card, and the computer will select the card it thinks is best. In some games, it is absolutely the best, and in other games, not quite perfect.
Yeah, and strategy. Yep.
And so, and then you get it. So, like, if you're the first four cards you're dealt are ace, king, queen, jack of hearts, and then you get a dream card, well, that becomes a ten of hearts, and you get a dealt royal.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and the coin ends an extra five coins in, so it's 30 coins in triple play.
Good. Yeah, it's 10 coin per line. So it seemed to be on this contest. It's not triple play, but it's spin poker.
No, it's triple play.
Okay.
Yeah, it's exactly how you described. And if you enable the dream card by, you know, paying the extra coins, then you, you know, based on auto hold, that fifth card, dream card, which is called, comes up, and it happens between like 30% and 60%, depending on the game. Like deuces, it's 59%. Double double bonus, I think it's 40%. But almost half the time, you're going to get a dream card. So it's kind of nice to have that bonus almost every other hand.
Now, when you're playing this contest, it's a 100 game session.
Yep.
And you can't lose. So even if you get 100 nothings, you get a score of zero, then that's over, and then you can play again if you want to.
Yep, play as many times as many 100 hand sessions as your heart desires in a, you know, per day for the next 10 days.
All right. Do you get a choice of games? Are you forced to play, say, Deuces Wild, or can you choose between Deuces Wild or Double Bonus or what? How does that work?
You have your choice of game families. Any, you know, joke, jacks are better, deuces, double double bonus, super or triple double bonus is what most people play, I think.
You do on this kind of contest, you absolutely want to pick the ones with the highest volatility.
Yeah.
Which will be triple double bonus. So in triple double bonus, if you get four aces and a kicker, you get paid you get paid for royal.
Per line. Yep.
So in regular dream card, there are 20 different ways that your first four cards could be four to a royal, but there are 48 different ways that your first four cards could be three aces and a kicker. And another one way that it, your first four cards could be four aces. And, of course, if you get a dream card, then it's automatically a kicker. So so it's more than so now normally with triple-double bonus, if you play it and you don't get these good hands, you just lose. It's really a heaven or hell game. But on this game, there is no penalty for losing.
That's right, because you have nothing at stake, so, you know, play all you want. So that makes it kind of fun.
So you know you're going to have to get at least a dealt royal or dealt aces and a kicker. And all the winners are going to have at least that.
And yeah, like the winners so far today have around, you know, the winner right now is 29,000 credits, and she got that from, a dealt aces with a kicker in one hand and
on triple play.
Triple play.
Okay, so that's only 12,000. So to get up to 29, she had to get that again.
Yep, she got a couple of those, and then she got a
just a lousy royal to beat.
Or dealt threes with an ace, you know, stuff like that. So the cool, when you go play the contest, if you click on the leaderboard, the person with the score, you can click on their name, and it'll tell you the exact hand they got. So it kind of you know, when people see these high scores, they can see how people got them. They do really happen. In casinos, they do really happen, although the stakes are a little bit higher, obviously.
Is this dream card available live in casinos?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played it Tuesday in this week, actually, at the Orleans for one of their promotions. But yes, dream card is available. But you're paying 10 coins per hand rather than 5 coins per hand.
Yep.
So it's it is a volatile game.
Yeah, it is volatile. In this particular contest where it's just triple play, normally it comes in 3, 5, and 10 play.
And spin poker sometimes.
Yeah. So click, there's about 22 casinos carry it right now in Nevada. So it's starting to get distribution, but you know, a lot of fun. So if you're out there and you haven't been on the site, go check it out and play the contest.
Yeah, and in the casino, it adds a little bit. Like if you're playing regular bonus poker is 99.17. Bonus poker dream card, if it's an 8-5 pay schedule, is 99.22. So, I mean, yes, it adds a little bit. And there's no difference in skill. The exact same plays are relevant. But but it does add something. So if you can get the Dream Card in the same pay schedule, then you're better off playing Dream Card.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't even know
is that you could, if you don't like the Dream Card for some reason, you can change your Dream Card to any other card you want.
Yes, you can. And in bonus poker, that's a good thing because sometimes you don't get a Dream Card. Like if you have 2, 4, 6, 8 of mixed suits and then Dream Card in bonus poker, the Dream Card should be another 2 or another 4 to so in case you get the right kind of four cards. But sometimes you're going to get a 7 or 8 or whatever higher cards are, which apparently when they made the algorithm for bonus poker, they used the same ones as they had for Jacks or Better. And the Jacks or Better, starting with a pair of sevens and a pair of deuces, is exactly the same. But for bonus poker, they're different. So that's one area where if you're playing bonus poker and you get that, you do have to make the change if you want to get the most out of it.
Yeah, and you got to tune into the show to learn that stuff.
Very good. Thank you very much for being on.
Okay,
and
guys.
Good luck on this contest.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All righty. All right. So so far we're trying to get in touch with Don Johnson. And so he is not called in, and we have and we're calling a number.
Okay.
Okay, let me talk to show the producer and give me the piece of paper that said what the number was, because I'm going off an email, make sure I get copied down the right number. Yeah, that's the best one I have. Okay. So, all right.
So well, while they're calling, do you want to go back to talking about bankroll differences between video poker and...
Yeah, so as you mentioned, on the if you know the first card's coming as an ace, because like maybe you saw it on the bottom of the deck and you or know you can cut the card exactly 13 cards in, and so you're counting and you know the 13th one is coming to you, something like that. How much? Pardon?
It could happen.
And there are players who develop the skill to cut 13 or to cut 26 or to cut 52 or to cut some such numbers. So
I have heard that, yeah. But anyway, we were talking about bankrolls. Yeah. So blackjack players usually have a very specific bankroll that they devote to. This is my, you know, blackjack bankroll, and maybe it's $20,000, and they can tell you, you know, exactly. Well, I started with 20,000 and now I'm at 24,350, you know. Now some people have what they call replenishable bankrolls, like guys who actually have a job and maybe they have 10,000, but if they get stuck, well, as their paychecks come in, they add money back into the bankroll. But you were saying that video poker players are different than that.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure it's exactly video poker players, but for like when I'm talking about bankroll, I'm using the Stanford Wong definition, which would be the amount of money I would lose before I would give up gambling.
Ah.
And the truth of the matter is I don't know what that number is.
But there's a number, your bankroll, there's a number where you could be broke and be forced to give up because you didn't have any money to play anymore.
Oh, yeah, there maybe, although, you know, with credit cards and with, that isn't a hard and fast number. And in my case, if I got anywhere close, you know, Shirley might become Lorena Bobbitt or something.
Right.
And so I might wake up in a different state than when I went to bed. So I don't really know what that number is. So,
well, but with blackjack players, they want to have a number for that bankroll because they are going to adjust their betting as that bankroll fluctuates up and down.
Because Kelly betting, or half Kelly, or double Kelly, or something like this.
Or quarter Kelly, or whatever it is, yeah. But I don't know anyone who plays, let's say that they decide their bankroll is, whatever, $20,000, and they decide I'm going to bet a $50 unit or a $100 unit with that bankroll. If they lose half of it, I don't know anybody who keeps betting the same amount until it goes down to zero. I mean, most people, you know, if they lose half of it, maybe they cut their unit in half.
Okay. Now, in blackjack, units are easier to cut in half sometimes than in video poker. In video poker, it could be, if you want this pay schedule, you have to play the $5 machine, period. If you go down to the $1 machine, it's a different pay schedule.
Right.
And so in betting one coin instead of five is 2% worse, something like that. So so Kelly is not normally, when video poker players are talking about bankroll, Kelly criteria is not normally in the conversation, although some people.
Sure people must ask you, though, you know, Bob, what do I need if I want to play $5 machines? How much money do I need behind me?
I'm sure. And early in my career, when I didn't have when the mathematical tools weren't available, I would give a number such as, well, if you have between three and five royal flushes of bankroll, you'll be fine. Well, since then, the bankroll tools have multiplied. So two really good ones. One is in Video Poker for Winners, which is software. It'll help you create both long-term and short-term bankrolls. And the other one out there, I'm blanking on the name of it. Not intentionally. He also has a blackjack analyzer and a video poker, and I'm not... Dunbar.
Blackjack analyzer? Is it the...
Dunbar.
Oh, okay.
So Dunbar has a bankroll analyzer, and both the Dunbar analyzer and Video Poker and the Video Poker for Winners analyzer do it differently. They come up with very close numbers, identical when you allowed for rounding, but some have different attributes. So I recommend people get them both. But you can address the question. If you're going to be playing, 5,000 hands, and you only want less than a 2% chance of going broke in those 5,000 hands, because on 5,000 hands, we're talking about a day's bankroll, not a lifetime bankroll, how much money do you need? And this depends on the return of the game, the volatility of the game, and various other things. So either one of those tools will provide that information very easily.
Yeah. See, blackjack players also run it, or table games players also run into some artificial constraints, one of them being CTRs, cash transaction reports, which is, if you get into the game $10,000 in cash, they require you to show ID and give your social security number, and they fill out a cash transaction report. A lot of players don't want that to happen, not because of tax reasons, but because they don't want the casino to know who they are. So you may be limited, by that $10,000 constraint. So this is going to change the way you would bet, obviously. This also happens if you go, say, to a foreign country and you only take X amount of dollars with you on a trip out of the country. You're not going to take your entire bankroll with you, so you're under those constraints as well.
Right. Having a line of credit in Poland may be harder to get than a line of credit in Atlantic City.
The problem for us was getting the money out of Poland, not getting it in.
All right, so you went to Poland. So you went with a buddy named Daryl, maybe?
Yeah.
And so how did that happen?
Actually, why we went to Poland is probably the most interesting part of the story. But
why don't you tell us why you went to Poland?
Okay, why? I guess this was 20 years ago or something by now. This guy who worked at Caesars Tahoe in Lake Tahoe invented this game called Over Under, and it's a side bet actually on blackjack, where you can bet that your first two cards are going to total over or under 13.
Okay.
If they total exactly 13, you lose. You know, I mean, that's where the house gets their edge.
And aces count as one?
Yeah, aces count as one.
Okay.
It turns out that this side bet is very countable and worth more, actually, than counting on blackjack. So though a lot of people were pounding the game up at Caesars Tahoe, but the guy who invented the game worked there. So I called the guy at Caesars Tahoe. I got him in the pit, and I told him I was a journalist, and I was writing a story about this new side bet that I had seen in the casinos. And
Munchkin, you're a big fat liar, but go ahead with the story.
Hey, I'm a writer.
Okay.
So I asked him where he had licensed the game. Mm-hmm. Where could I find it besides Caesars Tahoe?
Okay.
And he mentioned a couple of places, you know, in the United States. Remember, there was not gambling all over the United States the way there is now. And I said, what about overseas? And he said he didn't know that I would have to call, I believe it was Huxley, who's a big manufacturer of gaming equipment based in London, and they handled the licensing overseas.
Okay, and sort of like a Shuffle Master. But
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
So I called Huxley's in London and asked them about this, gave them the same story that I was a journalist, and asked them where they had licensed the game. And they had just opened casinos in Warsaw, and they had licensed the game in Warsaw.
Now, this wasn't when they were having labor unrest and those kind of things in Poland, was it?
No. I don't remember when that was.
That might have been 70s. All right, okay. Go ahead. So you went to Warsaw to beat this game.
Well, first I called the casino in Warsaw and asked them about the game, again with my journalist story, and they told me that they did indeed, and that the limit was $1,000, which, you know, I think if you were to find this game, I think there's one casino left in Minnesota that has this particular bet, and the maximum bet is $25. So to find it with a $1,000 limit, you know, was...
Is the word juicy come to mind?
Yes, juicy. Juicy.
Good. All right.
Yeah, so... So I called my friend Daryl, and he said, you know, well, let's jump on a plane. And we decided we had this probably the most incredible BP, a big player in the history of blackjack, this Japanese guy named Rocky. And we decided that it would be better if a Japanese guy took off the money, because it's always better when you have an Asian BP. And so we called Rocky, and we all flew off to Warsaw. And it turned out quite good. but then, actually what happened was Rocky, I think, lasted one night, maybe two nights, and they barred him. He won like 70,000.
Mm.
And they barred him. And after they barred him, the dealer sort of shook his head and said, well, yeah, he won a lot, but, you know, what good is it? There's zlotys. The Polish currency is called zlotys. He said, what good is it? They're Polish zlotys. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you can't convert them to another currency, and you can't take them out of the country, so what's it going to do with all that money?
Ah, good question.
And we're like, oh, no, what? You know, what,
oh, dear.
What do you mean?
If we weren't on radio, you might say something stronger than, oh, no. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so, well, it turned out that the dealer was wrong, that we could convert the money into dollars.
At a reasonable rate?
Yeah, at a reasonable rate. We got, it could turn into a very long story. We almost made a mistake with some sort of black marketeers, but... But we ended up getting all the money changed, but they
Good.
Did have currency restrictions. So you're not allowed to take, at least at that time, you were not allowed to take the money out of the country. So we decided to get a safe deposit box and try to figure out what we were going to do to get the money out. You know, we had ideas like buying lots of first-class airline tickets that we could then refund, or buying a couple of Mercedes-Benz and driving them across the border. But we decided to put it in a safe deposit box and regroup and come back a year later and see what we could do then.
After they forgot, because right now your picture was in the airports, like you guys just did it.
Well, possibly, yeah, possibly.
Okay.
So, we actually, it was a year before we got back, and we got back, tried to play some more, that wasn't possible. So one of the things that when a country has currency restrictions, you are allowed to take out as much money as you brought in. So my first thought was, okay, I'll take a check and I'll try to declare it as if I'm bringing in cash, right?
Okay.
So I had a check made out to me for $50,000, and when I entered the country, I declared that I was bringing $50,000 into, no, maybe the check was $70,000. Anyway, I declared that I was bringing the money in. And this immediately caused a flurry of activity, and all the immigration people came and said, "You're bringing in all this money?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, let us see it." And I said, "Well, it's a check." And they gave me the customs form that showed I was bringing it in, but they wrote very clearly and largely on it that I was bringing in a check, not bringing in cash.
Uh-huh.
So we now thought, well, this is not going to work. If I suddenly try to bring out the cash and say I cashed the check somewhere, I didn't think they were going to go for that. So, you know, the bottom line was we basically decided to just smuggle the money out.
Uh-huh.
And
so how'd you do that?
Well, we decided to fly out of Krakow instead of Warsaw, and had to drive right by Auschwitz on the way to the airport. It was a very nervous morning, and Daryl had all of the money strapped around his calves. And,
like rubber bands or something?
Well, they have these, they're called ankle wallets, these elastic things that you wear around your calf that has a pocket in it that you can put lots of money in. And, you know, we made it through customs.
So he's wearing very baggy pants that day.
Yes, yes. And we made it through customs, no problem. We both sweating bullets going through, got through. Get on the airplane, the plane takes off, he leans back to go to sleep, and the stewardess comes by and says, "Sir, sir," and starts tapping him, and we look down, and there are $100 bills cascading out of his pant leg.
Oh, dear, the rubber band broke.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Dear.
And you know, we're scrambling on the floor of the plane.
Here, let me help you. I will help you pick these up. Oh.
Right. But, no, we gathered up all the money, and we got it and got out of there. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It was quite an adventure.
Good. All right. So, actually.
How's it doing with Don? Still no luck there on the phone?
Yeah, we've left two messages.
Wow.
And so, and the number that we're calling is definitely in the one in the email. I'm not going to say it out loud over the radio.
Right.
But,
you know what? I'm looking at one of his other emails that has a second number. How can I get that to you?
All right. So, all right. Good. So, what's happening now is our producer is talking to Munchkin on the other line, and so this is a good time for me to do a commercial. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games returning more than 99%. That is more than anyone else. From now through Christmas Eve, like 2 days from now. Many outlets at South Point are 50% off when you use your slot club points, including bars, restaurants, hotel, gift shop, liquor store, bingo, spa, showroom, movies, bowling, and all your New Year's Eve events. This is an every-year promotion, so wise players store up points all year long to be used at this time. I know one guy who gets all his liquor for the whole year during this promotion, and another player stacks on half-price movie theater tickets, and then he uses them all year long. Double points this month will be happening Christmas Day, midnight to midnight. They're also going to be happening tonight until midnight. So on New Year's Day, there's also going to be double points there. So that's, what, 8, 10 days away, something like that. But keep in mind that even though double points is midnight to midnight, casino day is 3 a.m. to 3 a.m. there. So if you're playing between midnight and 3 a.m., you're going to be getting double points, but it's going to count as playing in December. If you play after 3 a.m., it's going to count as January. So for the people who are planning to do their entire month of January's play on January 1st for the double points, if they play between midnight and 3 a.m., it's on the records, it's going to show up they didn't play at all in January. So you might want to keep that in mind. Now, most of us who have been in town and wanted to play have been able to get plenty of play in December because there's been 2 double point days, although they're almost back-to-back on the 22nd and the 25th. So there are people who are out of town for both of those. So they may like the idea of having a double point day still in December, even though officially it's January 1st. The Palms, tomorrow, Friday, 23rd, is the last day to cash in your gift cards. Now, these gift cards were 0.04%. And you keep your points, and you can redeem them for a variety of gift cards. It turns out that they're also allowing you to do free play. So if I had a choice between a $100 Visa card and $100 of free play, to me, free play wins. Sorry.
Why would that be?
Because free play is totally fungible. Totally.
Well, isn't a gift card totally, if it's a Visa gift card, isn't that totally fungible as well?
Yeah, but when Visa, yes. Outback, perhaps, no.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So yes, Visa, but the Visa, I think you can get a $100 one and a $50 one, but you couldn't get one for $39. But you could get $39 in free play. Although I can tell you that Shirley strongly prefers a $100 Macy's card to me getting $100 in free play. I just Shirley's kind of like that.
Yep.
So there can be reasons to get the gift cards. But the nice part is it doesn't have to. I thought it would have to be in $5 increments because that's kind of the way gift cards are. But if you have at least $5, it can be in $1 increments. So you can cash in $38 worth. Tomorrow's also the last day for earning extra cash for your play. You can earn up to $280 a day, Monday through Friday, whereas tomorrow's the last day for that. It's at the 0.33% rate, which means it takes $1,500 coin in to earn $5. And you can have it at pretty much any multiple of $1,500 up through $84,000 and turn it into cash. So that's going to be in addition to the your normal free play, which you still get, and in addition to the gift card promotion. So those both end tomorrow. All right. So Richard, you gave our producer another phone number. He tried it with the same result.
Yeah.
So
while we're talking about free play and such, let me ask you, maybe you can't answer this on the air. So
okay. So try it anyway.
Yeah, we'll try anyway. Harris Points. I noticed that you can get, you know, like gas cards or things like that, but they're only worth 50 cents on the dollar.
Yes.
Is there a better way to, to get more than 50 cents on the dollar out of Harris?
Okay. What he's talking about is you earn regular total rewards points, and you also get bonus points, whereas a 9-6 jacks machine get no bonus points. Slot machine gets lots of bonus points. So, but anyway, it all adds together into points. And so if you have a 100,000 points, you can redeem that for $1,000 worth of comps or $500 worth of gift cards. Occasionally, casinos have promotions where, like the one at Biloxi, until recently, every month you could redeem $2,500 one for one. Occasionally, Rincon has that. I've heard that Council Bluffs had that, and they don't have that anymore. I know St. Louis used to have that. They do not have that anymore that I know of. Atlantic City may allow that periodically. So there are these events that happen. But sometimes you have to be a regular player at a casino to get the offer. So like if we heard that Atlantic City was doing it and everybody would go, oh, okay, I think I'll go to Atlantic City if I can spend, you know, $5,000 worth of gift cards and get $5,000 for it instead of $2,500, I'll pay my own airfare. But they usually make you be regular players to do it.
I see.
So one of the interesting things about Harris is I have been playing on both my card and Shirley's card for a long time. We are both 7 stars many times over. 7 stars takes $1 million coin in a year to get it. But recently I have heard that some of the Harris casinos are cracking down. And if you're caught playing on somebody else's card, bad things happen. So we basically have cut off playing on Shirley's card. So she can't go into the casinos herself because of health reasons. So basically she's earned 7 stars for 2012. Then after that, so she'll go on a cruise that she gets her 7-star cruise and then nothing in the future because we can't play anymore. But she got an email from Harris saying that if she doesn't spend her points by a particular date, which is 1 year after her last play, they all disappear. So currently she has something like 800,000 points, which would be worth either $8,000 in comps or $4,000 in Macy's cards that she's got to get rid of. Now, you can get rid of gift cards as much as you want all at one time, so that's not a problem, but she better not forget it or we'll be sorry.
Right, although all she has to do, though, would be to play.
I think so.
There's no minimum as to what she has to play, right?
I think if she earns 1 point, then she should get another year. But I'm not sure that works that way. Mm. So this New Year's Eve is the last official play for her where she'll be getting $2,500 in slot play. They call it Real Rewards at one of the casinos where they have a promotion. She's no longer playing. And so I'll put the... So that'll probably be her last Harris at all. So
she may have to go out at least on New Year's Eve to make her last play.
Well, she'll have to collect it, but the Real Rewards are...
Oh, I see. You just have to show up to collect it.
Yeah, then anybody can play the Real Rewards. Hmm. So, good. All right, so... So I don't know what happened to Don Johnson tonight. So one of the things we're going to try to do is getting back next week or later to find out what happened, if there's a good excuse or not. This did happen once before you came on the show, Richard. Nolan Dalla from the World Series of Poker totally forgot that he was supposed to do it and was quite apologetic. But he came on a few weeks later and everything went fine. So maybe that's going to happen with Don Johnson. Now, right now, our guests are probably going to be John and Lori. Why don't you tell us about that for next week, Richard?
Okay, well, Johnny C. and his wife, Lori, Johnny C. was the head of the MIT Blackjack team.
For 10 years.
Pardon me?
For 10 years.
Right, played by Kevin Spacey, or loosely based on him and another guy, kind of a conglomeration, in the movie 21. So, and Laurie, his wife, played on the team, and John is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. And I interviewed the two of them a number of years ago, originally for Blackjack Forum magazine, but that interview is up on my site at richardmunchkin.com. If you just go there and click on the link that says interviews, you can find it and learn a bit about them and the MIT Blackjack team prior to their being on. So we don't know. As you just mentioned, if Don can be on next week, we will have Don Johnson next week, and sometime after that, hopefully John and Laurie, although they have not confirmed with me. I had emails out to both of them, and I didn't have a confirmation, but I think they'll do it. So
Laurie is sparkles, both in person and over a microphone. So I mean, I like John. He's a good friend, but Laurie sparkles. And of course, if John comes on, we might ask him about the airplane in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
That was the scene about when John bought an airplane is described in a Ben Mezrich book.
Busting Vegas.
Busting Vegas. I highly recommend that book. It's the sequel to the movie that was based on 21. But it is quite unusual.
Right.
Good. So
that airplane story, I believe, is in the interview I did with him too. So if people want to find it there, they should be able to find it. So, So hopefully we'll have them on in January, if not next week.
Very good. All right. So now we got another 8 minutes to stall.
Okay.
Tell me something.
I guess maybe I should elaborate. At the very beginning, we were talking about things that blackjack players get obsessed with that are not about the money. And I mentioned stronger counts and side counts. But what they should be focused on, that's what I think is important, is what they should be focused on. If you're a card counter, what matters is the penetration, where they put the cut card. That is what they should be focusing on. That and the game speed. So those are the things. Oh, and their bet spread. That's the other thing, their bet spread. The penetration and the bet spread and then the game speed.
And whether or not they're allowed to play.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, for any professional, whatever the game they're playing, the most important thing really is the tolerance of the casino. Because it doesn't matter how good the game, the penetration, the rules, anything, if the casino won't tolerate your action.
Yes, and video poker players are experiencing that these days, not nearly to the extent that blackjack players are.
Right, but they do bar people for playing video poker, right?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
That just seems crazy to me. I mean, you know, why bar a video poker player? I mean, I can see, okay, we're not going to give you any comps, you know, but why bar him?
Well, there's different levels of barring, and there are some that you can play without using your slot club card. There's that level. There are some where you can play and use your slot club card, but we won't send you any mailers. There are some where we don't want you to stick your nose onto the property. And
see, that's the one that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, people can get mad at you for various reasons. A year or so ago, I made a play at the Tropicana in Vegas, and I was treated rather shabbily there. And so I wrote articles. One was called, Don't Trust the Tropicana, Part 1 of 2, and Don't Trust the Tropicana, Part 2 of 2. So I have not gone back there to see if I'm actually barred from there. But there's probably a chance that they don't want my action. Sometimes people take those things personally. At least one of the people who were involved, who I called out by name in the article, now works for Treasure Island rather than Tropicana. I don't know if my articles had anything to do with it. it was not my goal to get him fired.
I have to say, the most common question people ask me about you is, why do anything else let him play at all?
Good.
Me, they understand because I'm anonymous, but you, everybody knows who you are.
Part of it is I tell people and I write about where I play. Now, I tell everybody that I play at South Point, I play at Palms, play at, you know, Gold Coast, play at Samstown, and play at a few other places. And so when people hear that I play at South Point or some of these other casinos, they go, well, if Bob Dancer thinks that that's a good place to play, then probably a good place for me to play too. And the people who are hearing me say that I play there may not have the tool set that I do. So, because I am a writer, and I do write about the places I play. And so, like, Station Casinos doesn't want me to walk in the door. So I don't have anything nice to say about them. Gold Coast lets me play there. So I have a columns about Gold Coast periodically. So if people are reading my columns, they're figuring, well, okay, this is a good promotion at Gold Coast, or this is a good promotion at South Point or M or wherever it is I play. And that can be valuable to the casino. It worked at the MGM Grand 11 years ago, and then the slot clubs, the slot vice president and there's two of them, were arithmetically challenged. They had no idea what they were doing. And so in 2000, even to the year 2000, their record showed that we were down 250,000 for the year. So I was writing all these articles saying this is a great place to play. And so, and as far as they were concerned, I talk a good game and I couldn't play worth beans. Now, our records show that we were up 400,000, but the numbers were pretty close. They both had zeros in them.
Wow.
And then the night that we hit a half million in a half hour, that kind of caught their attention, and the writing was kind of on the wall at that point. So I had a conversation with the vice president very soon afterwards saying, maybe you best not play here anymore. So it was very civil. It was not, it was in a room with a closed door, but it was a lounge and there was cocktails or whatever. And it was a polite conversation. So that's why they let me play.
Huh.
And I hope they continue to let me play. I don't really have a plan B for what I'm going to do when I grow up if I get run out of this profession. It's I'll be 65 in a couple months. And I don't need to work, but I want to work because I enjoy the mental stimulation of playing in the casinos. So sitting at home doing Sudoku all day is probably not something that's going to satisfy me.
Right.
All right. So we got 5 seconds to go. So everybody go out and hit lots of royal flushes. And we'll call up and find out what happened to Don Johnson's. Good night, everybody.
You've Good been night. Listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.